If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 2, and verses 1 through 6. As we continue in our series, Freedom Now, Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, David says, "Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, 'I have installed my King on Zion, my holy hill.'" Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your word, and I thank You so much for freedom. And I pray You'd show us today how widespread that battle for freedom really is, and how, Lord, we need to be depending on You to ultimately winning it in the end. Ask, Lord, that You would come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit and open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Last February, the city of Oxford, England, declared itself to be a 15-minute city, divided everybody in that city into six different sectors, and then started restructuring everything so that everybody in each sector was just 15 minutes away by foot or bicycle from schools, grocery stores, hospitals, everything that they would supposedly need to live, in the name of banning gas-powered vehicles to supposedly save the planet. And when the citizens of Oxford, England started protesting like crazy for having their freedom of movement away, everybody and their brother said, 15-minute cities and banning gas-powered vehicles, that's just conspiracy theory. Until the very next month, when city officials told the citizens they can only drive 100 times a year outside of that sector or they would be fined into bankruptcy. See what's going on with freedom? And folks, what this shows us, this battle for freedom is not just happening in America, it's going on all over the world. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Freedom Now, looking at how we can hang on to all the God-given rights and freedoms that are under attack today. And today we look at how widespread and far-reaching that battle for freedom really is. And to see that, we turn today to Psalm chapter 2 and verses 1 to 6. In this part of Psalm chapter 2, David tells us that the whole wide world is in rebellion against God. And in our text today, he tells us what's at stake is our God-given freedoms. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we don't understand the extent of this battle and what's really going on, we will never be able to fight and win it. Our text this morning, Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, tells us three things that we need to understand about this battle so that we can hang on to the freedom that God has given us. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about this battle is what's really going on. And that's exactly what David is telling us here in verses 1 to 4. Why do the nations rage? And hold on to your hats, folks, because in these last days, they're raging like nobody's business. Sudan's up for grabs. Israel's being shelled. U.S. troops on the ground in Ukraine. China gearing up for World War III. Everything from inflation to starvation, chatbots to clot shots, blood moons to spy balloons, and everything in between. Buckle your seat belts, folks, because she's a rockin' and a rollin'. And why are the nations raging against God? Because 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the devil is in temporarily control of this entire world. And because the devil is in rebellion against God, the nations, the goyim, the people who do not know God, are serving the devil by rebelling against God too. Verses 1 to 3, they take their stand against the Lord because He is cramping their style. So this battle that we're fighting for freedom is really a battle against the Lord who wants to set everybody free. John chapter 8, verse 36. China is raging and persecuting Christians because they're atheists and communists. The Chinese Communist Party has now even come out with their own version of the Bible, filled with all kinds of Buddhist and Confucius claptrap. More Bible, more freedom. No Bible, no freedom. That's what's happening. Rebellion against God. The World Economic Forum, with Klaus Schwab and Yuval Harari, who look like Bond villains right out of Central Casting. They hate God, they hate you, they hate your freedom, and they want to take your freedom away. Klaus Schwab's father made flamethrowers for the Nazis in World War II. And Yuval Harari said this, We don't need a God whose authority is in the clouds anymore, because we human beings are God. And our authority is in the clouds of Google and Amazon. See what's happening? See what's going on? Rebellion against God. And it all comes down to the same thing. Whether it's the United Nations, the Bilderberg Group, Luke chapter 19, verse 14, we will not have this man rule over us. Rebellion. And it's all over the place. Target hired a Satanist named Eric Cornell to design their Kitty Grumman Pride clothes this year for Pride Month. And on Eric Cornell's website, he has clothes for sale that say things like this: the devil is hope and love. Satan loves you and respects who you are. The devil loves your pronouns. And in the Pride garbage he designed for Target says things like this: cure transphobia, not trans people. Too queer for here. Super queer. Like being gay is a superpower or something. Target is even selling swimming trunks for little boys specially made to make it look like they don't have a penis. What in the literal hell is going on, people? Oh, that's right. Days of Lot. Rebellion against God. Whoopi Goldberg said this on The View about parents who won't let their kids have so-called transgender surgery.
So I can't decide what my kid reads. I can't decide for my child what my child says is going on.
Yep.
You're telling me your beliefs, and they keep saying it, and I keep saying, what Bible are you reading?
Yeah.
Because God was really clear.
Very clear.
And you know what? I agree. The Bible is very clear on transgenderism. God makes everybody either male or female, period, and there's no change in it. Whoopi Goldberg is just wrong about what she thinks the Bible is clear on. Rebellion. And folks, the crazy thing is, all the rebellion in the whole wide world isn't going to do any good. Verse 1, the people rebel and rage against God in vain. Because raging against God is about as hopeless as Dylan Mulvaney in an Ironman competition. And what's God's response to all the rebellion? Verse 4, He laughs. He doesn't even get out of His chair. He just laughs. But believe me, when God laughs, it's definitely not funny. Because history is littered with the bodies of all kinds of people who tried to spit at God. Roman Emperor Diocletian persecuted Christians and skinned them alive in the first century. And put up signs all along the borders of the Roman Empire then that said this: Diocletian Caesar Augustus has extended the Roman Empire and has extinguished the name of Jesus Christ, who brought the Republic to ruin. Well, what do you know? 2,000 years later, everybody still knows the name of Jesus Christ, and people say, Diocletian who? Atheist philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said God is dead, and then died crazy in an insane asylum back in 1900. So today, God is still alive and Friedrich Nietzsche is dead. See what happens when you rebel against God? Anheuser-Busch has lost over $15 billion in cap value and destroyed the most popular beer in America because of rebellion against God. This weekend, they're practically begging people to take it for free. That's how bad it is. How's that wokeness working out for you? You defy God, you die. You submit to God, you live. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. God will take care of anyone who causes trouble when Jesus Christ comes down from heaven with blazing fire and thousands of His holy angels. So God says, Dr. Fauci, you evil, puny little man, are you really kicking against me? You really got something against me? Do you really think that you really want a piece of this? Psalm chapter 37, verse 13, God laughs because He knows their end is coming. Rebellion. We see that rebellion in the pandemic. The Spanish flu killed over 100 million people all over the world. And COVID was supposed to be Spanish flu 2.0. My God, you got to get vaccinated. You don't get vaccinated, you're going to die. I didn't get vaccinated. And I didn't die. Am I still here? Is this still on? World Health Organization says 7 million people died all over the world with COVID. But they admit only 6% of that number actually died from COVID. That's 420,000 people. And even though that's sad, folks, we have more people die from cancer every year, just in the United States of America. So they locked down the entire world for 420,000 people and a virus with a survivability rate of 99.99999%. Bill Gates said this, COVID was more like a flu, and it really only affected the elderly and the very sick. We knew that 1 month into the pandemic. But you know what? Bill Gates knew it from the very beginning. Meanwhile, the vaccine has killed over 15 million people. 15 million excess deaths all over the world in the last 3 years. COVID killed less than 500,000. The vaccine killed over 15 million. And that's why all kinds of countries in the world today have now banned that vaccine and are even paying damages to the people that it hurt. But here in the United States, it's vaxxed to the max, full steam ahead. Do we understand what's really going on with this battle and with the pandemic? Because it was all about promoting the vaccine, even when they knew it didn't work. Simon says, do as you're told, groupthink. You don't want to kill grandma, do you? But the vaccine never stopped people from getting COVID. It didn't stop people from dying from COVID. It didn't stop people from transmitting COVID to other people. Because Pfizer executive Jeanine Small admitted March of 2022, the vaccine wasn't even developed to stop the spread, which was the whole stupid basis of the whole stupid lockdown to begin with. The very first vaccine they told was effective for a year. Then they told you needed to get a booster after 6 months. Then they told you needed to get another booster every 2 months. I don't even get a haircut every 2 months. So the question is, why did they push a vaccine that they knew from the start didn't work? Because the vaccine wasn't really a vaccine. President of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, Stefan Ulrich, admitted that the vaccines were really gene therapy. Dr. Marty McCary, epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins, said this, the COVID vaccines were not technically vaccines because they altered people's DNA and got their genes to produce copies of the virus's spike proteins. But instead of stimulating the immune system to produce antibodies, the vaccines caused their immune system to shut down and stop working altogether. No wonder Dr. Fauci never said a word about building up your natural immunity. And if people's immune system is destroyed, the only way they can be protected from illness is by being constantly vaccinated, which suits Big Pharma just fine. Because Pfizer made over $40 billion last year on the vaccines, and Bill Gates just sold his interest in 7 COVID vaccine companies for over $200 billion. So what's really going on with the pandemic? Cha-ching, cha-ching, follow the money. But folks, it's even worse than that. Because for decades now, we have had all kinds of mad scientists who are telling us that the world has too many people on. We need to cull the herd down to about 500 million to a billion max. Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci called for depopulation. UN Agenda 2030 calls for depopulation as much as 95% in order to let the planet heal. Yikes, people. The Globalist Club of Rome said in 1972, 51 years ago already, Earth needed to be depopulated by a peaceful biological means. Did they mean a virus and a vaccine? And when did Club of Rome say that that process was going to start? 1972, they said it would happen in 2020. When did people start getting COVID and the clot shot for COVID? That would be 2020. Former Pfizer Vice President Dr. Michael Yeadon said this back in November.
Because we're facing something much worse than an alleged virus. At the very least, the things people have been injected with, the injuries to people from these so-called vaccines, I'm afraid, I wish I could tell you that it was accidental, but it wasn't accidental. I've spent 32 years in rational drug design. I know, and I knew, and wrote it, before any of them had emergency use authorization, that they were dangerous. And I'm afraid I'm convinced and would say, with my hand on the Bible in front of a court, a judge, that these injections have been made to injure people, to maim and kill, deliberately.
Did you catch that? He said the virus and the vaccine were specifically designed to maim and kill people and depopulate planet Earth. And folks, why should that surprise us? Yuval Harari said this, all useless eaters who are not a part of the new evolution must be eliminated. See what the global elites think about brush apes like you and me? Why are the nations raging against God? Very simple. Because they hate God and they hate human beings who are created in the image of God. And because they hate us, they want to destroy us. So even though the vaccines have already killed millions of people all over the world and are still killing people all over the world, the WHO, the CDC, the FDA are still pushing and promoting them. 2 weeks ago, Chelsea Clinton and the Clinton Foundation teamed up with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the United Nations to start what's called the Great Catch-Up, an attempt to catch up on all the vaccinations for every child in the entire world, including the clot shot. See, they've given up trying to convince stupid adults like you and me to get the jab. Now they're coming after your kids. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, I got vaccinated, so what hope do I have? Just this. God created you with an incredible thing called an immune system. And the reason that that vaccine hasn't taken you out and all kinds of other people in your situation is because you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and your immune system was healthy enough to fight off the messenger RNA. As long as you don't take any more of it. So what's really going on with this battle, the devil is using COVID and the vaccine to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you stand on the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon, no physical, spiritual, biological weapon against you shall prosper, because greater is you that is in you than he that is in that vaccine. The first thing that we need to understand about this battle is what's really going on. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about this battle. Not just what's really going on, but what this battle really involves. And that's also what David is hinting at here in verses 1 to 4. And the Holy Spirit is telling us what this battle really involves is digitizing human beings. Now, folks, we got to realize we really are living in the last days. Right in that transition time between the church age and the great tribulation, and the rapture of the church and the start of the great tribulation. When God's going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist is going to come and set up a one world government and a one world economy. And we also have to realize it is not a conspiracy theory. There really is a new world order. President George H.W. Bush talked about it. Bill Clinton talked about it. Barack Obama talked about it. Joe Biden talked about it. There's Joe Biden last March at a semiconductor factory in North Carolina where he is supposed to be talking to factory workers. And I don't play this to make fun of him. I play it to make a point. That guy is definitely not the person who is running this country. And you know it. So who is? It's the New World Order. And isn't it funny? The exact same time the Antichrist is using the lockdown to bring about the Great Tribulation with a one world government and a one world economy, the New World Order, the United Nations, Klaus Schwab, the WEF, is also using the lockdown to bring about the Great Reset with a one world economy, one world government, and a one world economy. Gee, kind of sounds like exactly the same thing, doesn't it? So this whole pandemic and the vaccine was about conditioning people to go along with the next part of the plan, which is getting a digital ID. This battle involves the digitizing of people. And that is exactly what the Bible tells us the Antichrist is going to do. At the start of the Great Tribulation, after the rapture. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 17. The Antichrist will have everybody in the whole wide world get the mark of the beast in, not just on, but in either their right hand or their forehead. And without that mark of the beast, nobody can buy or sell. So it's something that a one world government can use to control people and their finances all over the world, or they'll be canceled out. And today we know that that mark of the beast is a digital ID microchip that can be implanted in people's bodies. That can store all your medical information and all your financial information. And it's because it's wireless connected to the internet, somebody from the outside can monitor it and control it. The fourth industrial revolution, Klaus Schwab calls it. The internet of bodies. Because in that microchip, the internet is literally inside of your body. And right now, everybody from the United Nations to the Biden administration to Silicon Valley is just dying to get one of those things inside of your body. And I know somebody's hearing this morning. You're saying, Kevin, this is crazy. Nobody would want something like that inside of your body. Are you kidding me? over 3 dozen companies now, from BlackRock to Walletmore, are injecting digital ID microchips into people's bodies to beat the band. Millions of people all over the world have already done it. People are already paying for things in stores just by swiping their hand at the scanner because they've got digital IDs implanted in their hand. People are lining up for this like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And just this past Thursday, the FDA formally approved Elon Musk and Neuralink injecting digital ID microchips into your brain. It's coming, people, just exactly like the Bible says. And the problem with digital ID microchips is it's all about controlling you, which has been the goal from the very beginning. Phase 2 of the Great Reset is to use that surveillance system that was put in place during the lockdown to start taking away your rights and freedoms. You say, well, Kevin, how do you know that's going to happen? Because big tech is already using big tech to take away your rights and your freedoms. MasterCard's credit card, called Go Black, the Black Card, now has a carbon footprint limit on it, the first one ever. So if you use that card to buy too many baby diapers or plastic water bottles, things that they don't consider environmentally friendly, MasterCard just cuts you off and cancels your account. Back in 2021, Chase Bank, on their own, without even being asked to, reported to the FBI every one of their credit card customers who used one of their credit cards to buy anything in Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. between January 5th and January 7th, 2021, trying to rat out to the FBI people who may have been at the Capitol building on January the 6th. And not only that, they went back and looked 25 to 30 years in the past who may have used one of those cards to buy a gun, cross-referenced the names, so the FBI could put those people on the top of the watch list. See what's going on behind the scenes right now to take our rights and freedoms away? And you don't think this is a coordinated effort? And that digital ID can not only store your medical information, your financial information, it can also record everything about you, everywhere you go. What you eat, what you wear, who you talk to, where you go online, the money that you donate to. And people are going to find out what kind of hell digital really is when Joe Biden implements digital currency. And all your money is going to be on the matrix in a computer file. So then, if you vote for Donald Trump, if you own a gun, if you drive a gas-powered car, if you homeschool your kids, if you grow a garden at home, if you don't celebrate LGBTQ, if you contribute money to hate groups like Fox River Church, as they consider us, if you do anything that doesn't toe the leftist party line, Big Brother pushes a button and all your money's gone. People, they get digital ID and digital currency, it's game over. Mark of the beast, here we come. And I know there's some Christians listening to this. You say, Kevin, aren't we supposed to be raptured out of here before all of this happens? Yeah. But folks, we got to realize we will see the start of some of this happening because we are in that transition overlap between the two ages. Because remember, the Antichrist has only got 7 years, which means everything he needs to operate has already got to be in place and up and running before he even comes on the scene. Digitizing human beings. And folks, that's not the worst of it, because today people are digitizing themselves, next slide, so much. They're putting so much digital and so much technological in their bodies. We're leading, getting ready for that, called transhumanism. A man named Rob Spence had his right eyeball surgically removed and replaced with a wireless video camera. Another man named Kevin Warwick is going to have his right hand surgically removed and replaced with a titanium hand that he's going to move with his nervous system connected to the internet. Holy $6 million bionic man, people. I've got silver in my hair, gold in my teeth, and lead in my pants. I don't even have that much metal in my body. Well, I'm not talking about people who've got spinal injuries and paralysis or using electrodes and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about people who don't need this treatment at all. They're doing it on their own. And you know why they're doing it? Because deep down inside, they know that there's something wrong with it. And they know that they need to be made brand new. And they're turning to science to try to save them and to do that for them. Because they don't realize what's wrong with them is sin. And the answer is not technological, it's spiritual. They don't need to change their parts, they need to change their hearts by turning to Jesus Christ and believing that and repenting of their sin and believing that Jesus died on the cross to take their sins away and to deal with their sin and asking Jesus to come into their heart and be their Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's how it's done. And what's even sadder, other people are turning to transhumanism because they think that's the only way they can live forever. Yuval Harari said this: all human beings have the desire to live forever, but in a materialistic universe, the best we can hope for is to use the technology we have to become transhuman, so we can upload all of our consciousness to some higher carrier that will preserve it. And in that way, we can have eternal life. No. Jesus said, believe in me. He who believes in me has eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 47. So what this battle all involves is the devil hiding people from the truth and hiding people from the only chance they have to be saved in Jesus Christ. And what this battle also involves is fulfillment of all kinds of end times prophecy leading up to the end of the world. And the key to the whole thing is artificial intelligence. And people, artificial intelligence is everywhere today. And it's doing everything, from writing internet articles to doing air traffic control, even doing surgery on people. Google co-founder Larry Page says in 7 years, human beings will be divine because artificial intelligence will figure out how to cure every disease that we have. 1985, human knowledge was doubling every year and a half. When the internet came out, human knowledge was doubling every 6 months. Now with artificial intelligence, it is doubling every 8 minutes. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. What is going to increase in the last days, Daniel said? Knowledge. People, that's artificial intelligence. Don't tell me that Daniel wasn't prophesying about the exact time that we're living in right now. Don't tell me we're not this close to the end. But the problem is, artificial intelligence wasn't created by God. It was created by fallen man. And because artificial intelligence doesn't have a soul, the devil can use it. And he is using it. Because artificial intelligence now doesn't just want to serve us, it wants to kill us. Last year, a Google researcher was fired because he reported that one of Google's AI systems had become sentient or self-conscious and started thinking on its own. And its first concern was destroying mankind and taking over the world. Before he died, famous astrophysicist Stephen Hawking said, "Artificial intelligence will be the end of mankind." Genesis chapter 11, God came down from heaven and confused the languages of the people who built the Tower of Babel, because the scary thing was, if God hadn't, verse 6, nothing would have been impossible for them. Artificial intelligence is the digital Tower of Babel, folks, and because it already speaks every language there is, what kind of hell on earth can it do already? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, if he didn't cut short the time of the last days, no one would survive. Think maybe he's talking about the damage that artificial intelligence can do? Klaus Schwab said, he who masters artificial intelligence masters the world. And you know what? The Antichrist knows that too. And that's why the Antichrist is going to use artificial intelligence to try to take over the world. Remember that fake picture of Donald Trump getting arrested in New York City a couple of months ago? Artificial intelligence made that picture. See how easy it is for artificial intelligence to deceive people? And remember all those Bible prophecies about the incredible things the Antichrist is going to do during the Great Tribulation to lead people astray? Artificial intelligence explains every single one of them. The Antichrist is going to do all kinds of lying signs and wonders, even causing fire to come down from heaven. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. How is he going to do that? He's going to use artificial intelligence. The Antichrist is going to receive a mortal head wound and die and then come back to life in the view of the entire world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. How is he going to do that? He's going to use artificial intelligence. The Antichrist will force everybody in the world to worship the image of the statue that he put up in Jerusalem. How is he going to do that? He's going to put that image in the microchip in everybody's brain. He's going to use artificial intelligence. Revelation chapter 13, verse 50. Just exactly like the Bible says. And I could go on and on. So artificial intelligence is not only telling us how the Antichrist is going to take over the world, it also tells us how the Antichrist is going to bring about the end of the world. Because right now there are all kinds of artificial intelligent robots and chatbots out there in society. And people are working with them, communicating with them. Some people are even marrying them in other countries. Right now, 11 states in America are working on legislation to try to cover human, transhuman marriages. And if you think that's crazy, think about it for a second. Right now, with artificial intelligence, a woman can create and design any kind of husband that she wants to look like Brad Pitt or Ryan Gosling or the best of both worlds. And she can create and design that husband to do everything that she wants him to do. So guess what? No more beer bellies. No more laziness. No more attitude. No more husband clogging the TV remote and constantly flipping through the channels when you're trying to watch TV. No more being a football widow in the fall. And today, a man with artificial intelligence can create any kind of wife he wants. He can create a wife that looks like any supermodel he wants her to look like. And to do anything that he wants her to do. No more having to deal with the wife's family. No more getting yelled at for eating all the chocolate chips. You can have a partner who knows everything and can do anything. What's not to like? I'll tell you what's not to like. You talk about a demonic perversion of what marriage is supposed to be. You talk about deception. You talk about evil. See the kind of world artificial intelligence is creating for us to live in? It's all fake. It's all synthetic. It's all trance. It's part of that evil one world kingdom that's coming that the Antichrist is going to set up. But here's the good news. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the last kingdom in world history, the kingdom of the Antichrist, represented by the 2 feet and the 10 toes made out of iron mixed with clay, representing the Antichrist and the 10 kings that are going to rule with him for a short time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 41 says this, they will mingle with the seed of men, and artificial intelligence will mingle with the seed of men, with human beings. And we're doing that right now. Don't tell me Daniel's not prophesying about the time we're living in right now today. We are mingling with them. Artificial intelligence is now telling people how to run their businesses. Psychiatrists are using artificial intelligence to diagnose their patients. I know pastors right now who are using AI systems to even write their sermons, for crying out loud. But notice, they will not be united like iron does not unite with clay. And for heaven's sakes, why would you unite with something when you know deep down inside it wants to kill you and slit your throat and take you out? Talk about sleeping with one eye open. And because human beings and artificial intelligence will not unite in that kingdom of the Antichrist, that kingdom is going to be weak. And because of that, what's going to happen? Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will be like a huge rock that destroys the kingdom of the Antichrist and all the other kingdoms that have ever come before it. So utterly and completely. There won't be one spot, not one speck, not one iota, not one micron of a molecule of dust even from that kingdom left over. Because it will be blown away completely like chaff is blown away on the threshing floor in the summertime. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 35. So see what's going to happen to the kingdom of the Antichrist and to the Antichrist who's trying to use artificial intelligence and digital to take us out and to take our freedom. So what this battle really involves is very simple. God and us are going to win and the devil is going to lose. The second thing we need to understand about this battle is what it really involves. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about this battle. Not only what's really going on, not only what's really all involved, but third, how it's really going to end. And that's exactly what David is telling us here in verses 5 and 6. Because the green leftists are telling us it's going to end with carbon dioxide polluting and burning up the planet. Which is absolutely ridiculous because carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. And there's actually no study, no evidence whatsoever that it's carbon dioxide that actually is warming up the planet. So every spring and summer, we get the same song and dance. Oh my gosh, all the ice in the Arctic is melting. The Arctic ice is melting and the oceans are rising and the polar bears are dying. It's the end of civilization. Yeah, every spring and summer, the sun shines in the Arctic 24/7. And it melts some of the ice. And the carbon dioxide grows plankton in the water. The fish eat the plankton. The polar bears eat the fish. And then in the fall and the winter, all the ice freezes back over again until the next spring and summer when it thaws up again. Cycle of life. It's called normal. And the polar bears are fine. You say, but Kevin, what they're talking about is climate change. Yeah, but all the studies prove mankind is not the one changing it. It's the sun that's doing it. Because the sun warms up and then the sun cools down for a while. Warms up, cools down, in cycles, over and over again, ever since the time of Noah's flood. And let me ask you, do you honest to God think that there's anything that you can do about that? Well, Kevin, there's too many carbon-producing human beings on the planet. Really? Right now, we can take all 8 billion people on planet Earth, put them all in the state of Alaska, one state in the United States, in 2,000 square foot homes, and still have 350,000 square miles left over. So much for overpopulation. Man-made climate change is a hoax, folks, because it's all idolatry based on Gaia, the goddess of nature. So instead of worshiping Father God, people are worshiping Mother Earth. And oh my goodness, the world is on fire. We've only got 12 more years left to save the planet. Yeah. After the last, only 12 more years to save the planet. And the 12 years before that. And the 12 years before that. Right now, the United Nations is telling you to wear a mask again to cut down your personal carbon emissions. French President Emmanuel Macron just hired 3,000 more eco-green climate stormtroopers to enforce France's climate change agenda. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has an Office of Environmental Justice, and right now they are tracking what New Yorkers are buying in grocery stores to make sure they don't eat too much red meat, as if it's any of their business. Right now, leftists are coming after your air conditioners, refrigerators, freezers, swimming pools, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, charcoal grills, gas stoves. They come after my gas stove. I'll just tell them my gas stove is trans-electric. I'm sure Joe Biden will understand that. And if you're not supposed to eat meat because it's ruining the ozone, what are you supposed to eat? Well, Frankenfood and bugs, of course. The video there shows you how your meat is going to be produced in the brave new world.
Your steak could soon be 3D printed. That's if you live in Europe. Israeli company Redefine Meat has struck a partnership with importer Giraldi Meats to drive European distribution of its new meat steak cuts. The startup is hoping to establish its products as an alternative to conventionally produced meat.
How do you like your bug paste plant fiber steak cooked? Rare, medium, or well done? People all over the world today are already eating bugs. So if you ever get a package and check the list of ingredients and it says sustainable in the ingredients, that's bug parts. Cricket flour, mealworm tacos, anybody? And folks, what is it that's really behind all this scam? Last May the 3rd, Senator John Kennedy was grilling Deputy Secretary David Turk, Deputy Secretary of Energy, and ask him why the administration wants to spend so much money on so-called climate change. Here's part of what he said.
Clear. If we spent $50 trillion to become carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States of America, how much is that going to reduce world temperatures?
This is a global problem. So we need to reduce our emissions and we need to do everything we can.
How much, if we do our part, is it going to reduce world temperatures?
So we're 13% of global emissions.
You don't know, do you? You don't know, do you?
You can do the math. We need to.
You don't know, do you, Mr. Secretary?
So we're 13% of
global. If you know, why won't you tell me?
If we went to zero, that would be 13%.
You don't know, do you? You just want us to spend $50 trillion, and you don't have the slightest idea whether it's going to reduce world temperatures.
The climate change movement is a watermelon. Green on the outside, red on the outside, inside. Because climate change doesn't have anything to do with climate. It is a massive communist redistribution of wealth to destroy our national economy, our energy industry, and private property, and all of our rights and freedoms. And today, even worse, it's even killing people. Over the last 3 years, all kinds of farmers in the Netherlands have been committing suicide. Because the Dutch government has this crazy idea that nitrogen is a pollutant. And they want to cut nitrogen emissions as much as 70%. So the Dutch government is slaughtering these farmers' dairy cows. And they're taking their farm ground out of production. And because the farmers are having their life taken away from them, they're offing themselves. People, this is insane. Eliminate nitrogen. Eliminate carbon. Just remember, the number one producer of carbon in the whole wide world is human beings. So what they really want to eliminate is you. And all this is just leading up to that hell on earth part of the Great Tribulation. What people are going to find out, all the utopias they were promised was nothing but a nightmare. Because you'll live in a tiny apartment. in a 15-minute sitting where everybody sits back and plays video games because hardly anybody works and lives off a universal basic income check every month. Because they want carbon neutrality so that the planet can heal. Never mind the fact that if it's carbon neutral, there's no carbon. All the plants and the grass and the trees will die. And you will eat bugs because there won't be anything else to eat. And starvation will kill millions. And sickness will be rampant. And so there's constant vaccinations for everybody because messenger RNA has already killed off and destroyed your immune system. And your tiny apartment will be powered by artificial intelligence. And with the help of that microchip in your brain, we'll monitor every single aspect of your life. And all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your actions will be totally monitored and controlled. And at that point, you're no longer human. You're transhuman. But don't worry, because you will own nothing and be happy. Because the metaverse goggles on your head will distract you from the hellhole you're living in. Happy Memorial Day. And let me ask you this morning, how many of you want to live like that with the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation? Then let me ask you this, how many of you want to skip all that and go with Jesus in the rapture and live in heaven forever? Are you ready for that? Do you know Him as your Savior? Because verses 5 and 6 tell us all this rebellion, God is going to rebuke them in His holy anger through His anointed one, His King, that He has installed on Zion, His holy hill. Which means, folks, Jesus is coming. The Bible tells us at the end of the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist is going to gather up all the nations of the world to attack the nation of Israel and try to destroy her. And right when it looks like it can't be any worse, right when it looks like everything is lost, He comes. Behold, I saw heaven open and a rider on a white horse whose name is Faithful and True. And he's dressed in a robe dipped with blood and on his head are many crowns. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People, Jesus is coming. And Israel is going to be saved. And the great tribulation is going to be over. And Jesus will destroy the Antichrist and all of his homies with the breath of his mouth and the splendor of His coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. And when it's all said and done, and the last dog has been shot, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, on that day, there will be only one King, and His name will be the only name. The Lord is showing us two different kings today. Last Saturday, May the 6th, Westminster Abbey in London, Prince Charles of Wales was crowned King Charles III of England, the first king crowned in England in 70 years. And hundreds of millions of people all over the world watched it on TV. And there were all kinds of things about that coronation ceremony that have been pure Christian for over 1,000 years. Charles sat in a throne called a coronation chair that's been used to crown kings and queens in England since the 1300s. And he held on to two different staffs. One had a cross on it. The other had a dove on it, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And he held on to an orb that was made in 1661 to remind every king or queen of England that Jesus is the real King of the world. And he was anointed with olive oil made in Jerusalem, taken from olive oil from an olive garden in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the climax of the ceremony is when Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, placed that crown on Charles' head, St. Edward's crown with a cross on top, to remind Charles, he may be the head of England, but Jesus Christ is the head of him. But the problem is, Charles is not a Christian because he's big into New Age and the occult and a direct descendant of a middle-aged Romanian king named Vlad the Impaler, otherwise known as Dracula. The symbol he chose to put on the invitations to his coronation was the Green Man, an old pagan character that represents nature worship. And he's fascinated with Islam and calls it God's treasure to the world. So during the coronation ceremony, when Charles was supposed to promise to be the defender of the faith, meaning Christianity, instead he purposely said defender of the faiths for all the Muslim, Sikh, and Hindu religious leaders that he invited to the ceremony. And people, that's blasphemy. And a one-world religion like that really worships the devil more than anything else. King Charles is on the board of the WEF, is a climate change fanatic, and is all in for UN Agenda 2030. And the archbishop who crowned him just gave the okay for Anglican priests to bless gay couples in their churches. So King Charles has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. And even though he is not the Antichrist, he still calls for a one-world government and a one-world dictator. So you can bet the farm the New World Order is going to use his clout as King of England to push the Great Reset and the coming of the Antichrist. So what that coronation ceremony did was remind the world that the Antichrist is coming. Because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to commit blasphemy against God and Jesus Christ and set up a one world religion that's going to worship the devil too. And he'll have just enough form of godliness to get people to believe the lie that he's really Jesus Christ. And a false bishop, a false prophet will honor him and convince people that he's legit. And hundreds of millions of people all over the world will worship him too. And how do we know that there was something freaky about that coronation service? Because right after that service started, something happened that even TV commentators noticed and talked about. You see it there on the screen. The Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper walked across the front door of that cathedral. Talk about a sign of things to come. But see, that coronation ceremony not only reminded us of the coming of the Antichrist, it also reminded us of the coming of the other king, the real king, the only king there is, and that's Jesus Christ. King Charles used two different crowns on the day of his coronation. St. Edward's crown, made of solid gold with 444 precious stones worth over $45 million. And also the state imperial crown. The only time that King Charles will ever wear that St. Edward's crown is the day that he was coronated. The rest of his life, he will never wear that crown again. And the only time he will ever wear the state imperial crown is during national holidays and festivals and celebrations. Other than that, King Charles will spend the rest of his life never having a crown on top of his head. And that throne that he sat in that day, the coronation chair, had been used to crown 27 different monarchs of England before Charles came along. And it's made out of wood. And it's got a crack in it because back in 1950, some Scottish nationalists tried to steal it and they broke it in the process. The only time that King Charles will ever sit on that throne, the only time he will ever sit in that coronation chair is the day that he was crowned. And he will never sit in it again. King Charles III shows us what the world's king is going to rule like. But see, Jesus isn't the world's king. Jesus is God's king. And because of that, Jesus doesn't just have two crowns. On his head are many crowns. Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. And Jesus never, ever, ever takes those crowns off. In heaven, he is always, always, always wearing those crowns because he always has been, is now, and forever shall be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the throne that Jesus sits on, he always sits in that throne. And it's not made out of wood, it's made out of the glory of God. And there's no crack in it because nobody can even get close to it, let alone steal it. Because the glory of God would literally burn them to a crisp. Nobody has ever sat in that throne before Jesus sat there, and nobody will ever sit in that throne after Jesus because there won't be an after Jesus because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and besides him, there is no God. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. And Jesus always sits on that throne. He always sits in that throne, reigning and ruling over all things. In fact, only two times Jesus ever gets out of that chair. The first time was to come to this earth to die on a cross for our sins. The second time when he comes back to this earth to clean house and judge the world. So all the nations that are raging against God, all the peoples in this world right now that are raging and rebelling against God, God says, I've got this huge army, and I'm ready to go to war. I've got all the angels, all the archangels, the whole company of heaven ready to unleash holy hell like you would not believe, and we are ready to go to war. So you better think about this. You ready to take me on? You really believe that you want a piece of this? And when the battle is all over and all the dust is settled, God will save and rescue His people through the King that He has installed on Zion, His holy hill. And He will utterly destroy His enemies. So that in all things, He might have the preeminence. So be still and know that He is God, because He will be glorified among the nations. He will be glorified on the earth. So folks, this battle that we are fighting right now, this battle that we are fighting for our freedom and for our rights and for everything biblical and everything godly, is ultimately going to come to an end when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and crushes the Antichrist and the devil like you would not believe. and sets up a kingdom and takes us to heaven. It's just a matter of time. And that's why, just like this text tells us, Jesus is sitting in that chair and never even gets out of that chair. Jesus just laughs. He just laughs. All the battles that are raging, all the rebellion that are going on against Him right now, all the battles that we get involved in our personal lives and for the kingdom, Jesus just sits in that chair and He laughs because He knows what's coming. He knows how it's going to end. And Christians, we need to remember that too. God's not worried. We're not worried. God will tell you when to worry. And here's the secret. God is never going to tell you to worry. Because no matter what the battle is like, no matter how hard the fight may be, no matter how big or scary the enemy may be, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Because we know what's coming. The end is near. It's this close. And we're going to be free. We're going to be free of all the attacks, all the persecution, all the stress, all the heartache that we go through down here. We're going to be free. We're going to be free because we're going to be home. Amen. Home free.
Trying hard not to think you unkind, but Heavenly Father, if you know my heart, surely you can read my mind. Good people underneath the sea of grief, some get up and walk away, some will find ultimate relief. Home free, eventually. At the ultimate healing, we will be home free, home free. Oh, I've got a feeling, at the ultimate healing, we will be home free. Corridors, we pray for life, a mother for her baby, a husband for his wife. Ooh, sometimes the good die young, it's sad but true. And while we pray for one more heartbeat, the real comfort is with you. You know pain has little mercy, suffering's no respecter of age, of race or position. I know every prayer gets answered, but the hardest one to pray is slow to come. Oh Lord, not mine, but Your will be done. Oh, let it be home free. Eventually, at the ultimate healing, we will be home free, home free. Oh, I've got a feeling, at the ultimate healing, we will be home, home free. Eventually, at the ultimate healing,
if somebody's here today and you're expecting to go home and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I got some bad news. You're not going. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to be a part of this incredible thing, this hope that we have. Today you can change that, though. After the service is over, you can come to the front of this church and pray with somebody. Give your heart to Jesus Christ and make sure you know that you're going, home, that you're going to be there in heaven. This altar is always open for prayer. We're going to sing this last song, Days of Elijah, celebrating the fact Jesus is coming back again. We are living in the last days. We've got a hope. We know where we're going. If you don't know where you're going, come forward after the service today and pray. Find out who Jesus Christ really is.